Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. It is me, Corey Majors, alongside Alec Medford and the three-time Hall of Famer, Chris Arnold.
Put you down.
Along with James, who is...
James Tritely.
Yes, James Tritely. Wearing the... what Santa shirt is that? Is that the...
This is Elf.
Will Ferrell?
Yeah.
That's a good one, yeah, right
it's
there.
It's a solid one.
Yeah, I got the t-shirt that says Son of a Nutcracker on
there
it.
We go.
I really like that one. Alec is wearing his festive Mean Girl shirt. Thank you very much, Alec, for humoring me a little bit there.
Well, thank you for gifting it to me. I love it.
It is a Christmas Eve special with the KNC Masterpiece as we send you off of your driving around, getting to your family or whatever it is today. We will be with you the entire time. So we're looking forward to the holiday tomorrow and having a little bit of reprieve and then getting back after it. All right, guys, let's go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy.
Dip.
Gridiron Gravy brought to you by Rhino Shield. Why paint your house when you can shield your house?
Do it.
Love Rhino Shield. Jim Harbaugh says that he wishes he had the approach to the game that Justin Herbert has. I love this little paragraph that Jim Harbaugh says. He's talking about the way that Herbert goes about it. It's kind of a let it rip mentality, and he never played that way. He was always very, very structured. But he said he reflected on how much more serious he was when playing organized football than he was when playing pickup basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And he says he likes the way that Herbert plays because he's playing with a less structured vibe to it. Mm-hmm. But here it is with Harbaugh. You think about pickup basketball. In the summer, you'd show up at the court, outside basketball court, on cement. There's nets, chain nets. I like that. You formed your team early in the morning, and then you would play until you got beat. So much like the playoffs. And then once you got beat, you had to form a new team, and the goal was to play to lunch. If you could get your team together, play all the way to lunchtime, then you could go eat, come back, start the afternoon, and see if you could play the rest of the day with your team. It meant a lot. There was so much on the line. You wanted to play your best, but you just played. We play better when we're free and loose and focused at the same time. I think everybody plays better when they're playing with that kind of joy. And sometimes you do get caught up too much in all these other things, and you forget to have fun with that game. And that's what Jim Harbaugh says is, play football more like pickup basketball. Now, I don't know about you guys, but every time I've ever played pickup basketball, there was the one really good guy, and everybody on his team, you know, knew he's the really good guy. All we got to do is just rebound for him.
Feed him the ball, and
then make sure he's got it. So that, it feels like they're just saying that Justin Herbert, you know, let's just rebound for him and make sure that he's okay.
And it felt like with Brandon Staley, they didn't really have that mentality. It felt overstructured at times, and you need structure in pro football. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying go out there with no game plan and just say, hey, whatever happens, happens, and we'll try to win a football game. Harbaugh is really good at keeping the room light and keeping everybody energized in a way to where they're amped up to play, but they're not overanalyzing. They're not breaking things down to exact sciences. And we were kind of talking about this a little bit yesterday. I don't remember if it was on or off the air, but a knock you could have on Dak is that in the big games, you feel like maybe he's doing too much or maybe he's overthinking it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just go out there and do your job.
Mm-hmm.
Go out there and be you, and your team's going to back you up every single time. And with Justin Herbert, he's such a unique talent. And he has the ability to turn a game upside down where, like you said, if he does fall down, if he does throw a nasty pick, if you can just go out there and say, hey, next time he gets that ball, he's going to be angry. You know, let him do his job again. Give him another chance, especially late in games. If you say, we give him one more chance, I bet you he's not going to make that same mistake again. And so if you can just get the ball back in his hands, you're probably in a good spot. And that defense, even though they gutted it for salary cap reasons over the offseason, they've been really good at playing complimentary football. They might not be in the top three of right. every single defensive statistic that you can find on ESPN, but they know when to step up in those big moments because they say, it's almost like the Mahomes theory, you know, if we can just get him the ball one more time,
exactly.
we're and probably going to be okay.
That's the deal. I'm not saying he's Patrick Mahomes, but you got to let him freelance. You got to let him try some things that he knows he can do. And he's such a laid-back guy. He's a West Coast guy. We're talking about Justin Herbert. He's a laid-back guy. And again, even though Harbaugh had coached the 49ers back in the day, he's from Michigan. He was quarterback in Michigan. So like you say, you saw that structure. You know who else is keeping Harbaugh light on the team? How about UT's own Dicker the Kicker?
Uh-huh.
Dicker the Kicker is the guy that Harbaugh loves. Dicker the Kicker and Harbaugh get along so well. Dicker's Halloween costume was Harbaugh. It was dressed up like Harbaugh, and they did videos and stuff together. And so you can imagine Dicker the Kicker, who is a team favorite, and then here's Herbert, and now Harbaugh's like, yeah, party.
That is, you brought up Dak a minute ago, and I don't know if we did talk about that on air. I've always felt like Dak, at the beginning of big games, feels like he has to win it all right then.
Mm-hmm.
And all the best players I've ever seen, there are opportunities to come out of the gate and crush an opponent and move on. But the big playoff games, usually it's the plays late in the game.
Yes.
And Aaron Rodgers was so good at it.
Ask Cowboy
keeping
fans.
Keeping you in a game, just keeping it close. His defense was good enough to keep it close too, but you were always just right there. And then he knew, now is my time. And I would love for Dak to have that kind of a mentality of, we're going to be able to keep it close, but late is whenever I'm going to turn it on and send an opponent home going, what the F just happened?
Well, here's the deal about Dak. He's not insane arm talent guy. There's like five of them in the league. Joe Burrow, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, a couple other guys, even
Herbert. Yeah.
So those guys have insane arm talent where they could carry a team. Dak can execute the game plan. He can do the script.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have the right pieces around him offensively and defensively, he can make sure that it happens. In other words, he's going to have the lead. There's a criticism back in the day that Troy Aikman is really not that good because he didn't have to come from behind like Roger Staubach.
He was very good.
And he also kept his talent within himself to let Emmitt Smith score the touchdowns or let the defense carry the day or whatever. Troy fit into what they had. With Dak Prescott, he's got to have that. He can't be the guy that, you know what, I'm going to Patrick Mahomes this thing in the fourth quarter. I'm going to Aaron Rodgers this thing. That's not what he does.
Maybe so.
That's not his arm talent. But what fans love is a guy who's got that arm talent because going into a game, even if the opponent is better,
you
feel like you got a chance. Yeah. With Dak, it's like, well, I don't know.
Yeah.
And that's not, to me, that's not a knock against Dak. It's just what the expectation is, and that's not his skill set.
The Texans claim Deontay Johnson off of waiver wires. Alec, he's had a bit of a weird run here, but losing Tank Dell to that bad knee injury, they needed a player. Deontay Johnson was with the Packers or with the Steelers. Then he's down in Carolina this year. Then he gets released from them and then picked up by Baltimore. And then he doesn't go in to play for them, and they're like, "We're letting you go." And now the Texans,
they got the playbook and. I'm just kidding. That's all they need.
It's a weird situation for him, and it seems like it's just continuing the run on Pittsburgh wide receivers that have like some sort of attitude issue. And
starting with AB,
it was what you saw to a lesser capacity. It wasn't as well covered with the 49ers, you know, having their defensive lineman that didn't want to go in the game, and they're like, "We're going to suspend him for three games," whatever that actually means. Harbaugh was kind of just deflecting any questions about him after they acquired him, why he wasn't playing. He was getting like four snaps a game, if that. And I think the last game he suited up for them, he got zero. And they asked him again, why this guy that you went out and acquired, why didn't he play? And he was like, that's something we're going to have to figure out. Like he straight up said that we're going to have to get this figured out because it's a weird situation.
That is weird.
And then literally days later, he gets waived.
Yeah.
So it was a attitude thing. And I don't know if that's going to change with a change of scenery, because I thought that playing with a two-time MVP as your quarterback would give me a great attitude personally. It seems like a great culture out there in Baltimore. Everybody seems to like playing there. They're playing winning football right now. And the Texans, I guess, give him a more immediate chance to be a playmaker and to be an impact guy. So maybe he shows up and says, I'm ready. I'm fresh. I haven't really played all year. It's my fault, but I haven't played all year, so I'm ready to go. We can try to make this playoff run because you guys need help. So if he goes in there open-minded and they accept him open-minded and say, hey, that stuff in the past
is the past.
Just, yeah, let's just
until you
it there.
Do it here and then you're cut.
We're not going to act like it didn't happen, but let's just say new beginnings. We're at the end of the season. We really need your help because our guy just went down.
And how about this? This could be your last chance in this league.
Probably.
And by the way, the San Francisco situation, what's the kid's name? They walked off the field. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I think I heard this on G-Bag. I can't remember which show I heard this, because it was like, why did they just suspend him and not just right out cut him? Because he obviously is a quitter. Well, apparently, if you do that, that gives him a great chance to just go somewhere else and make himself. In other words, it might open the door for players like, oh, I don't want to play here no more, so I'll act up.
I'm just not going to play.
I'm just not going to. And so what you do is you suspend them where they're still stuck and have to play for your organization, or at least be tied to you till the team decides they're through with you. And you can't just say, okay, I'll just act up now, and then I'll be cut, and I'm free to go wherever I want to go.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of NBA players did that. They'd get their big contract with the bad team, and then they'd say, all right, now trade me. I want out of here because we're not winning.
Yep.
But hold on, we just gave you all this money. That's great. Now go send me to a winner.
Why you bring up Jimmy Butler? Like
well, I was actually Deron Williams always comes to mind for
he
me.
Will?
Yeah, I liked him, but I remember in Utah he finally got his big contract and was like, I want out of here now. He'd done everything he could with that team, but they were on the down. He gets paid and he's like, send me somewhere else. I like the guy. I really did. Mm-hmm. But I that's one that sticks out. There are lots of other ones that have happened too as well.
Yeah, he was having it out with the coach.
Mm-hmm. The Packers clinched their playoff spot last night by destroying the Saints. 34-0. That is five straight games of at least 30 points. Jordan Love, however, says, I still think there's a lot more points out there for us. He's five straight games of 30 points, and
meat on the bone. Is that what he's saying?
Yeah,
he said,
I think it's just little
he's
things.
He's not satisfied. I like that.
We're starting to be more consistent, dialing it in. The sky's the limit for this offense. That does concern me a little bit. I think they are a wild card for me in this playoffs. Now, I think they're probably going to be a wild card team too, but they are a wild card because they can outscore you, but they also can just throw in one of those games where you're like, what just happened?
Right. Yeah.
So I'm afraid of the Packers for anybody that has to play them in the playoffs.
A knock for me all season has been their defense. And I know it's the Saints. They're beat up and they're not exactly good by any means. But this is from our friend Ross Jackson. We had him on the show earlier in the year to preview the Cowboys and Saints. Saints rookie quarterback Spencer Rattler was pressured on 52.6% of his dropbacks against the Packers.
You say really? He was rattled?
He was rattled. He absolutely was. And it's hard to pitch a shutout in the NFL.
Yes,
again,
it is.
Against any bad against the Carolina Panthers.
Yes, anybody.
It is hard to shut NFL teams out because they're talented players. You hear the cliche all the time. Well, the other team gets paid too.
Jerry says that very frequently on
this
our show.
This looked like a contender. It did that. That's what playoff teams do to bad teams. So, and you mentioned they probably left some points on the board. And not anything of their own fault. It's just typical inconsistencies that you see throughout the season. And I think that Jordan Love is going to be a guy that might not be this year because the NFC is so weird just in general, but he's a guy that you will win because of, you won't win with.
They pitched that shutout because the Saints, all to a man, were on the sideline saying those two words.
It's cold.
It's cold. It's cold.
They went and hung out in the freezer. That wasn't enough.
It wasn't enough.
Wasn't enough for them.
Get on the plane. Let's go.
Let's just get out. Remember that?
It's cold.
Remember that Steelers game when Romo like throws an incompletion and then runs to the sideline and puts his hands on the just like, it was cold.
It's cold.
And the offensive linemen are like, we're not even wearing sleeves. Mm-hmm. Aaron Rodgers on Pat McAfee's show said being released would be a first for him. But being released by a teenager would also be a first. He thinks that the possibility of Woody Johnson's son would be the...
What's his name?
The,
Brick?
Yeah, I think it is Brick.
I got released by a kid named Brick.
Killed a guy. He said, so, hey, I'm open to everything, but I find comedy in all of it. If it happens, hey, that's a great story.
They asked Rodgers, okay, so you got cut. What happened? My Madden score wasn't high enough.
Yeah. Madden score wasn't... Was Ocho Cinco doing something the other day where he was live changing Madden ratings? I think
he works for him.
Yeah.
Some kind of way.
Like in the game, he was like, these guys can change their rating within this game. And I can't remember. I just saw it on Red Zone for a second. So that was a quick thing there. The NFL, all right, the power rankings. The worst teams in the NFL have stayed the same. It is still Vegas, the Giants,
and Carolina,
the Jacksonville's and Tennessee. No, Carolina's actually moved their way up a little bit. Their
only loss has been at the Cowboys.
They are now number 24. The Cowboys move up as well to number 19 after a nice stretch here. And then the top teams in the, let's go for the top 10. Who do you got at number one in the NFL according to ESPN?
Alec?
I think just because of their slip up the other week, the Lions would not be in consideration there. I'm going to go with the Kansas City Chiefs.
Chiefs at 14-1 are still number one.
I was going to say the Chiefs.
And number two?
Number two, Buffalo Bills.
They got Detroit Lions there.
Okay.
The Bills come in at four.
Really? So who's four in behind. The sweet spot of number three?
They got a running back.
Minnesota.
They got a running back.
No.
Eagles.
That's
Eagles.
Fascinating.
It's the Eagles.
It is the Eagles. And I'm fascinated that Minnesota is number five and not higher up on this list considering... Everybody keeps disrespecting Minnesota, and I don't understand why. Baltimore falls in at six, Green Bay seven, Pittsburgh, Washington, and Houston. Coming up next here on the KNC Masterpiece, it's time for AM on the FM. Where are we heading?
We got the question of the day, plus workplace drama is so much more fun when it's on national TV. Next on The Fan.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. Don't forget this Friday, all three of us are going to be at Buffalo Wild Wings at Left Bank in Fort Worth. So look forward to seeing y'all at Left Bank in Fort Worth. And we'll be out there doing all the Cowboys ticket giveaways and all the merchandise giveaways and also the $4 ice cold Miller Lite. So be there on Friday, 10 to 2 at Left Bank. But right now it's time for AM on the FM.
Please, do not push the button. You have no idea what it...
Alec, you be quiet.
Alec, that was awful. One for Alec, zero for Peyton.
Don't you dare touch that dial.
It's just so hard to focus now. All I can smell is the wings. I can smell the lemon pepper. Oh. I can taste the Miller Lite.
Yeah.
Friday. I need to get there already.
You're ready to take a load off, huh?
Yeah, I'm so ready to take a load off with everybody in the city of Fort Worth. I need the entire city there.
Let's do it.
I need the fire marshal to like threaten us. That's what I need.
It's happened before.
Yeah, we need to do that again.
We need Kelly Clarkson to stay in town, show up, and sing some Christmas.
That would be amazing. It's my first time out there for one of these Friday football feasts, so I need y'all to show up and show out,
That's
please.
That's right. You've been holding it down at the Pimp Cup.
Oh, yeah. I could just smell it through the radio waves, and I get so hungry, and all I have in the backpack is a protein bar. You know, it's a hard knock life up here at 75 and Fitz U. 877-881-1053. That is the Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorney text line to answer today's question of the day for AM on the FM+. Plus, I know we all... selfishly love workplace drama, but it's just so much better when it happens to people who are on national TV for a living. We'll hear from that here in just a minute. There's some drama brewing over at ESPN.
Oh.
And it sounds like the personal variety, not the the bit variety. Sounds like
there always is.
Mm-hmm. It's funny that they're all co-workers, but the different programs don't really mess with each other.
Yeah.
We'll get to that here in just a little bit because Shannon Sharp was out here wilding yesterday on First Take. The question of the day today is going to be very topical, gentlemen. One, because I am wearing my new favorite t-shirt. two, because it is December 24th, 2024. It's a lot of twos and a lot of fours. Especially because James is wearing his ugly Christmas sweater and a Santa hat that he has now switched out of, I imagine because it gets itchy.
It got itchy.
Got itchy, and they can get warm, too. And very you got warm. The headphones on, the over-the-ear headphones. So I respect it, but as soon as the red light goes off at about 1:55 today and we give way to the G-Bag Nation, I need that thing back on, all right? Need the top back on, all right?
You got it.
Put your top on.
Yeah, please put your top on, please.
It may come off here.
And keep it red.
No shirt noon on the way.
Hey, there we go.
I love it red. I love it when it's red.
So this is a TD Tuesday, like, G-Bag?
It is a TD Tuesday, and James is acting very accordingly. Mm-hmm. Actually, he's still got it on. I can still see. But the question is going to be, do you have, and if you do, what is your favorite Christmas Eve tradition that you do? 877-881-1053, as well as Twitch and YouTube, because for me, we did a lot more when I was growing up, when I was a kid. There was, you know, we would drive around the neighborhood and look at everybody's Christmas lights, and we would do the hot chocolate. We would watch, there was like two or three movies we had to watch every single year. Now that I'm grown up, it's not in, you know, like my sister lives in a different state, so like it's a lot more, we kind of just make it up as we go. But I'm hoping what my dad did for us today is going to be tradition going forward. He went over to HEB, something Mike Bassett can't do, yesterday, and he spent his day off shopping for meat, and he got himself some Wagyu steaks that he's going to cook up for us, which we do steak every now and then. More so when we go out, we don't really cook it at home, but this is like maybe the third time that I can remember him actually making steak for us, but he was like, I'm going big or I'm going home. I'm getting the nicest stuff I can find at the store, and we're going to have ourselves a good night. So I'm hoping this turns into a tradition where Christmas Eve is going to be steak night at the Medford household.
Can I do a quick shout out to that new HEB in Mansfield?
Because it's great. I love it.
I was driving down 287, minding my own business, and traffic was backed up on the exit for Broad, because that's where that HEB was. I mean, it was on the highway, the backup. Like, they were going to see Christmas lights, but they were getting the Christmas food.
So I haven't been to the HEB in Plano, just because, you know,
it's crowded. It's
Plano. Plano, yeah.
Got stuff to do. But, like, too rich. The first time I ever went to an HEB was in San Antonio.
We
would go down to Port O'Connor and fish, and then we'd bring the fish back to my buddy's place in San Antonio, and we'd have a big fish fry. And so we went to, all four of us went in to go buy stuff at HEB, and I'm walking around, I get to the beer section, and there is a super hot lady giving samples of beer. And she let me stand there and get hammered. Like, I was sitting there, she just kept pouring, she was like, nobody's been coming by, and I was like, I'll stay here until you stop giving me beer. And that was,
beer.
That was a great time. So I appreciate HEB.
Interesting. I love HEB too. And I saw a video. I want to catch this in store. I saw on TikTok. They will do like a whole presentation where they split Parmesan wheels like in store. And they give you like a history lesson on where it came from.
That's why the process, HEB, man.
Like how the whole like process of it was created and everything. And then they hand out little samples of that freshly sliced Parmesan wheel. And Parmesan cheese is just like a delicacy. It was made by Jesus himself, if you didn't know.
Wow.
I don't know if that's true. I'm just making that up, but it may as well be because it is so good. But I do want to see some of that stuff, and they do some really good stuff like that. And everything, the deals are just amazing.
From the 469, every Christmas Eve, build a Lego set, preferably Star Wars, and then smoke with my gorgeous wife. I'm assuming like a brisket or something like that.
Yeah, because
nobody's talking about the green sticky stuff.
I mean, none of our listeners smoke weed.
Not a single one.
Nobody. I dare you. Nope. If you do, or if you currently are, 877-881-1053, because not a single person is going to text
and
and
today.
Say that. Not today.
Not on Christmas Eve.
Yeah,
y'all haven't seen the Snoop Dogg that 'Twas the Night Before Christmas?
Have you seen the Snoop on a Shelf or Snoop on a Stoop?
Snoop on a Stoop.
My kid wants a Snoop on the Stoop for really bad.
Products,
like the Elf on a Shelf.
Now Snoop drop on a that stoop. Jingle.
Yeah, exactly. Now drop that jingle.
Yeah, drop that jingle.
For our family, so growing up, my childhood, we always went to Grandma Majors on Christmas Eve and Grandma Stevens on Christmas Day. that was how it was.
Mm-hmm.
Then divorce happens after high school. Oh. Everything just fell apart. Like it was just like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. We schedule at Thanksgiving, everybody just kind of starts flipping coins on how it's going to be. And this year we are going to my mom's tonight and then my dad's tomorrow. So I think just opening presents, being around family is my favorite Christmas Eve thing.
Yeah,
it really is. Because when I was a kid, it was like, what electronic might I get? I might get lucky and get an electronic tonight, but Santa's going to bring me the good stuff. But now it really is watching the kids, watching them open presents. That really does give me joy. Really, I don't know. I can't explain how just being a dad is a really fun thing.
I'm with you on that. I love watching the kids open those Christmas gifts. They're a little bit older now. But this is the craziest thing. It seems like, I don't know how this has happened, but since the kids were kids, my wife has gotten us wearing these Christmas onesies. The whole family's matching in these onesies. And then they take pictures, and I guess that's the tradition
now.
That never happened when I was growing up, but my family's like, they got the onesies, where's your onesie?
Yeah, we get Christmas pajamas every year now. My daughter loves it, and I'm always Christmas like, pajamas. Oh my gosh. But I got the last 6 or 7 years, I still have all the pajamas that have gone through there. So.
Yeah.
Oh,
well.
Alec, you didn't open up Pandora's box on the text.
Hey, the 469 did follow up with you, Corey, and said, yep, brisket.
Okay, yeah, good. Glad to hear that.
I don't think you're telling the truth.
For him. Because nobody else.
All these other Tolos. In fact, this one Tolo said, you know, it helps take the load off.
Yeah, I guess so. Somebody said they're smoking crack.
Yeah, well, you know, whatever, to each his own. Or as Snoop used to say, to each his reaching. If you can't get it, it ain't yours to have.
Exactly.
That's a great point. I was still trying to comprehend yesterday, even after the show, that Mike actually smoked with Ricky Henderson.
Oh yeah, you like never heard that story before?
I've heard it before, but like hearing it again,
that's Mike's just legendary
like,
story.
It finally like hit me like that actually happened. That's awesome. That's one that you take to the grave. That's so cool. Keep those coming in. 877-881-1053. Your favorite Christmas Eve tradition. I saw this multiple times. People saying tamale dinners.
Yes. There's a lot of people that make tamales. If
sounds
not Christmas
lovely.
Eve, they do it on New Year's
We're
Eve.
We're having Tex-Mex tonight. I'm in charge of the queso.
There you go.
Because Lucy and I have been, you know, we got a queso book queso. That's awesome. It's all these different types of queso. Mm-hmm. I recently made a Gulf queso with like crab in it. That one wasn't great.
I was about to
that
say
one, yeah. That one wasn't great. All the rest
like
of
there's
them,
a line.
They have crushed.
Yeah.
So yeah, we are doing, my mom is, she's like, look, I'm, you know, everybody's probably going to do some traditional stuff. Mm-hmm. We're doing Tex-Mex.
The meat, if you put any meat in the queso, has got to be ground beef.
So usually with this queso, chili-ish, it's ground hot, spicy. Is it Jimmy Dean or Owen's sausage?
Yeah, sausage. Yo, yeah.
Usually it's that. But I told Adrian, because my son does not eat pork, I was like, let's just make some picadillo and throw that in there. And so we'll have some ground beef in there today. That is what's going on.
Sorry, hello.
You're just laughing right now.
These responses,
like a producer. Oh, okay.
These responses are amazing.
You've opened up Pandora's box, Alec.
Nobody's passing around a jolly Santa bomb.
The 214 said, just rolled up my Christmas spirit.
Mm-hmm. People say they're doing this as we speak.
I'm sorry.
I don't believe any of you.
You're doing it for the bits. You want to be famous, and I respect it because I
mean,
will.
There's
got to
be 100 texts.
Mm-hmm.
All of the same topic.
Well, it's illegal in Texas, I believe, right? Isn't that the... How's that work? Is it only you can only carry so much?
Something like that.
These are Oklahoma Tolos.
Mm-hmm. I found this out. By the way, Tolos out there who are texting in right now, I want you to be careful if you have pets. I found out because my dog swallowed some dental floss, and the people he had to have surgery and get the whole thing taken
out. They couldn't
out.
Just pull the string out of his butt?
They tried that, and it was 5 foot long worth of dental floss.
Oh, man.
But where I was going with this was...
A long day right there.
Where I was going with this was the people who worked at the vet were saying, you have no idea how many pot puppies come in here. People are leaving their weed around, and the dogs are eating it and getting woozy, and you have to cart them off to the vet. Just saying, don't do it. And gummies, too. They said they're eating all that stuff. So be careful.
Mm-hmm. I've seen that before. Seen that before. It wasn't mine.
Right.
Somebody else's.
He said, what's wrong with that dog? He's wobbling. Mm-hmm. He said, what's wrong with that dog? His last name is D-O-double-G.
By the way, Chris, somebody did text this in. Elf on a Shelf Snoop on a stoop,
mm-hmm.
K&C in a tree, Chris on the town got you down.
Got you down.
So look at that.
Oh, that'll work.
Just Chris all over, rhyming all over, all over DFW. The place. Yeah. That's what we got to get for next
can
year.
Can never have too much Chris. Mm.
In Christmas.
Be honest. You guys, to an extent, you enjoy drama, right?
To a degree. But you love chaos.
I try to personally avoid it. All right, I try to personally avoid
it. Oh, yeah, not being in it, being a bystander.
I do like to, I try to personally avoid as much drama. If stuff goes on around the office, my first thing is to be like, just put my head down and keep work, just do my thing.
But you're still listening
out
there.
I'm going to hear about it, though. Yeah. I know somebody's going to tell me about what's going on.
You're not taking sides.
Mm. What are you proud of?
What are you proud of?
So, apparently there's this whole thing where there was like a misunderstanding or a misquoting of Kirk Herbstreit, where they were, first take was talking about Kirk Herbstreit's comments about Ryan Day or whatever. And he said during the playoff game against Tennessee, about first take, he said, quote, they thought he was done talking about Ryan Day. So I'll be excited to see what they talk about on Monday.
Okay.
And I guess Shannon Sharp took exception to that on first take yesterday. Take it away, Skip.
Even though I'm going to let it slide. I'm going to be a good teammate. I'm going to let it slide. Everybody's at ESPN, because had you not taken the route you taken, I would have lit their ass up.
Ooh.
I'm going to let it slide. You know what, guys? Congratulations, Ohio State. You won the game. But, hey, if we're going to be on the same team, if we're going to work for the same network, don't do that. Kurt, Chris Fowler, I promise you, if you ever mention anything, any platform that I'm on again and talking about, I wonder what they're going to say in negativity, I promise you, ESPN ain't got enough bosses to keep me off y'all for what I'm going to say. So I'm going to let y'all slide today. I'm going to turn it over to D.O. before I get myself in trouble. But don't play with me. Go ahead, D.O.
Damn.
I got to follow?
Sounded like he was just. It sounded like Herbstreit was just trying to tease to his show on Monday.
Exactly. Like, if anything, it was a good plug. But right. I want to know what he has on Herbstreit, because he said there's not enough bosses that could keep me from saying what I'm going to say. What does he have?
I don't think
on
he has anything. I think he's just going to go off.
Yeah.
I think he's just going to go off.
Skip.
Just let me go off. Let me do it.
I want to hear him just go nuclear, though. That would be kind of fun. Mm-hmm. Just because.
Didn't Herbstreit go to Ohio State back in the day?
He did. And I just want to know what that would sound like a 2-minute rant of Shannon Sharp just lisp and all going in on Kirk.
You know Herbstreit. Who does a great impersonation? Lucius.
Yeah, he can Sharp. Impersonate he anybody it. On this planet. Skip. Don't do that, Skip. So I want to see how that goes, but I just want to be able to run that sound. So please, ESPN corporate, let him cook. Yeah, that's AM on the FM.
All right, thank you very much. Fantastic work there, Alec. Coming up next, we'll chit chat with our friend Mickey Spagnola from DallasCowboys.com. Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, Corey Majors alongside Alec Medford. We got Chris Arnold in studio and James. But we're all learning how to communicate together. It's
you scare
okay.
me. You just throw it. Everybody's just, looking at me this way, and we've all got thumbs up. I'm like, oh, God, what happened? Am I not supposed to do a read right Mickey? Now?
We're thumbs up, though.
Okay, yeah, we're good.
We got Mickey Spagnola from DallasCowboys.com joining us right now. Mickey, how are we doing today, sir?
I'm doing well. You keeping these boys in line?
No.
You know what? It just turns into chaos, and I'm okay with that. I'm one of those people that I enjoy the chaos, Mickey, because I don't know what's going to happen. All right.
Well, so, very good.
Yeah, I'm all right with that. Now, that being said, Jerry Jones was on this morning, and we're always trying to read and decipher Jerry and what he says. And I don't think a lot of times he tries to trick people. I've never really felt that way, but he also sometimes doesn't give all truths, you know,
like if
you,
vague.
Yeah, he gives you just enough, but he did say we have an outstanding future ahead when he was talking about what Mike McCarthy's done and what the Cowboys team has done late here. Do you get the feeling, based on, you know, times you've seen coaches leave this organization from Jerry, that Mike's McCarthy is pretty secure at this point?
Well, I don't know about pretty secure, but I think it's better than I think what the outside noise would interpret and think about it. That started before the season ever began, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was on the hot seat.
From that playoff game on.
Right, and then they lose 5 straight, and then the seat got hotter.
Mm-hmm.
And then now, you know, you're looking at it pragmatically and factoring in all the – and it's not just injuries. It's who got hurt, right?
Pro bowlers.
Prominent guys. Like I think Steven said it Monday. Right now, it's like 40% of their salary cap's on injured reserve. And that doesn't account for the guys that came back. I want to say four of their top five salaries spent time on injured reserve this year. And so that's got to factor in, I think, to any evaluation of, you know, where you're going and, you know, where you are right now at 7-8. And I guarantee you, there's not a lot of people that want to put their hand up in the air and say, yeah, I thought this team could get back to 7-8 with two games to go. No one believed that. Hell, no one believed they could win this past Sunday, right?
Sure.
Anybody pick it?
I did not. I had it close, but I didn't pick it for sure.
I was too scared.
Right. but again, so I think some of that's got to factor in the overall valuation. And, you know, when he was talking about the future, too, I think he was talking about the team future of some of these guys that have been forced to play.
Right.
And all of a sudden, you're getting some stuff out of them, right,
mm-hmm.
That you didn't expect and probably wouldn't have got the opportunity if there was a bunch of injuries. Now, some of that is going to cause them some headaches once free agency starts. Like, well, can I keep this guy?
Right.
Can I keep that guy? You know, when you're looking at guys like Osa and Chauncey Golston stepping
Jordan
up.
Lewis.
Jordan Lewis, yeah, by the way. And so, yeah, so, you know, but I guess that's a good thing to have to worry about. You know, Rico, you know, we can mm-hmm. go on and on a bunch of these
Cooper
guys.
Rush.
Yes. Yeah. Don't forget your backup quarterback
I'm
is.
Co-signing with you, Mickey, because when everybody was supposedly mad that they beat Washington and there goes the pick, I said, with the team building process, and I understand the strategy, but I want to see who you're going to keep on this roster right now. It's not about can they make the playoffs or not. I want to see who can play. Because I want to make the right choices, so you better watch these games as much as you watch the college tape to get ready for a draft.
Well, right now, at 7-8, they would pick 14th, right? Mm-hmm. But think about how bad the records are that are, you know, ahead of them in the draft choice. We weren't going to get there. There's too many teams that are like 4 wins, 3 wins,
yeah.
2 wins, whatever, nice. Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's unreal how many like really bad records are out there. So you know, even if you're kind of middle of the pack, around 500 or whatever,
yeah.
Okay, so you're picking in the middle. You know, you pick Zach Martin at number 16, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's like I said yesterday. You know, you're dealing with human beings out here playing these games. It's not you know, trading stocks.
Right, and you know, the other part about it, like I said, team building is a sport, and people like the strategy, oh, let's get the highest pick possible. But guess what? You still have to fill out a roster, and there are guys here who are free agents. There are guys here who are rookies that, you know, get the reps and whatever. You got to assess what you've got. You can't say, okay, let's skip to the draft and throw away the entire roster. Except
yeah, right.
for CD and Dak, because they got a contract. You got to –
And I get five more
at,
guys,
watch
right?
It.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So anyway,
if we're going to talk about the future, something that's come up a lot is your defensive coordinator, Mike Zimmer, and he talked yesterday, and something that Twitter's had a little bit of fun with, and I want to see your read on it, was he was asked if he's enjoyed this enough that he wants to keep doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he came out of retirement and he said, quote, we'll see. Let's wait until the end of the year and see where we are at. Do you take anything away from that? Because I honestly, if you had to make me make a bet today, I'd say he's coaching the Cowboys defense again next year.
I would think they want him to. I think the way this is kind of turned around. And, you know, as I watched him during, and look, I've known Zim for quite a while, right? We first met in 1979, if you can believe that.
Wow.
Now there
I wasn't
was
a, even born yet.
There was a period in there where, you know, we weren't around each other, but we were for 2 years, and then he comes back, what, 94 with the Cowboys? So he's not one to I think he kind of warmed to the thing, like, okay, I'm going to try and do this. And then as the season went along, and I can tell the way he's dealing with his Monday press conferences when the coordinators speak, that he's gotten a little more comfortable, a little more, you know, giving out a little bit more information. And I said, okay, I think this season is has grabbed him, right? It's sucked him in. And I could see him wanting to go on. Absolutely. I mean, these coaches, it's in their soul, right?
Yeah, it really is.
They do.
I mean, I remember I got to cover Bear Bryant's last game that he coached. It was a Liberty Bowl.
Memphis,
1980,
Tennessee.
Oh, I want to say it was 83 Liberty Bowl. And or it was the 82 season, but I don't know. Yeah, they probably played in December of 82. And he was going to retire after that game. And I saw him. It was cold. He was standing on like a milk crate to do the press conference afterwards. They won. They beat Illinois. And he just looked ashy. And I'm going, golly, this guy doesn't look good. And I swear it was a month later and he passed away.
Sure did.
And it's almost like, you know, they need the coach, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like maybe some of us in the media. I don't know. I don't know who that would be, right? Mm. But
why are we looking at each other, Mick? Why
yeah,
we...
right? I mean, that's, you know, that's what they do. And I think Mike's really enjoying this. And I think his relationship with Micah Parsons that has grown, and everybody thought, whoa, this is going to be tenuous to start. And now, you know, you hear Micah talking about them going out to dinner.
Yeah.
Tex Schramm once said, because he got accused of hanging around with too many young people, and it was messing up his mind, right? It was changing how he thought. And Tex said, he goes, when you hang around with young people, you keep young. And I think there's something to it.
Yeah, I think you got something right there for sure, Mickey. Merry Christmas to you. Happy holidays. We will talk with you. I'll talk with you on Friday.
All right.
The fellas will check
I'll talk
in with
to
you
somebody
on Thursday.
On Thursday.
Yeah, yes. Right now
we will
sure.
be
somebody's.
Here.
All right. Very
we'll show
good.
Up just for
Merry
you.
Christmas, man.
Hey, you yep. know, like I always say, I don't know who decided to put Christmas in the middle of the NFL season, but we got to carry on.
So
why'd
rude.
They do that? All right, Mickey, have a good one, man.
See you
Merry
guys.
Christmas.
There he goes, Mickey Spagnuolo, right here on 105.3 The Fan. I just wanted to fit this in real quick. Mm. Chris Young. We love him. Like,
yeah,
that's all I can say is like I just love this dude
more than I love most people.
He is a GM who whenever it's like, all right, I'm ready to make a run this year. He's like, all right, I'm gonna add, and you're like, oh wow, that was impressive. He's like, yeah, guess what? I added again. You're like, oh okay, this is great. No, adding again. He's just like more. And this is Chris Young. Now, they did talk to Roki Sasaki. But he said, I won't talk more about other than we had
Don't
the conversation.
Jinx it. Don't jinx it.
But he did say this. I'm very happy with the moves we've made. And I think all of us are very happy with the moves.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then he goes on. But certainly we don't want to stop. Good God, I love hearing that. Mm-hmm. We feel like we're trying to build a team that can compete for a division title and hopefully a World Series championship. And we're going to need to continue to pursue leverage arms.
Yep.
And that's not going to be just this offseason. That's going to be into the season as well. So, I feel like they're going to make trades in the season, but they want to go into spring training with as solid of a team as they can and say, okay, what else do we need?
Sounds like, once again, he's going to be working on Christmas Eve. His wife is going to be so unhappy.
She's going to be so sick of him.
Say, how do you like that ring?
So sick of him, and we're all going to be so thankful for those Christmas gifts. And
see, why is the man.
I'm glad he outwardly said that because, you know, even Jared said it yesterday when he joined us during the show. He was like, you know, it might not be until after Christmas, but he's like, the Rangers aren't done. And I seriously believe that because you hear Mike talk about it all the time, too. They still need a closer.
Yep.
And I'll tell you right now, if I'm making a bet, which I don't bet because you can't do that here. His name is Kirby Yates. I think he's back. I really do. And there is some smoke to the idea I threw at Jared yesterday, Chris Martin. He played for the Rangers before. He lives here in Arlington, actually. He's like,
I thought he performs a Coldplay.
Yeah, so he might be in the middle of a world tour right now. I saw him at the Cotton Bowl. Yeah, he was really good, and you know the team's colors don't involve yellow, so I don't know how that's going to work. But no, he showed with the Red Sox that he still got it. Jared mentioned there was some medical issues that might actually, he's gotten over. We don't have to worry about that, but it'll bring the price down to where you could probably get him and Kirby Yates. So that's two more leverage arms that you could add to your bullpen, including a true closer that made an all-star team. So I think they are far from done.
I love it. Viva la vida, if you will. All right, guys, Coming up next on the KNC Masterpiece, is college GM now the most desirable job in all of sports? Ooh. We talk about it next on The Fan.